This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. I grew up watching the Miss America pageant. It was a kind of a family tradition to gather around the TV in September to watch this annual ritual from Atlantic City's Convention Hall. A small confession, I've also emceed a few Miss Maryland pageants and more than my share of state preliminaries. Miss America was the biggie. True, it featured the swimsuit competition, but it also stressed talent, and the winner received a scholarship. Much of that has changed since the days of Burt Parks warbling, "There She Is, Miss America," and that pageant has had to contend with changing societal norms and increasing competition from Miss USA, Miss Universe, and a host of other shows featuring beautiful women parading up and down runways and, in the end, wearing a crown. Although for many today, these affairs have lost some of their luster, that hasn't stopped them. In fact, they've grown in number and scope. Pageants today feature little girls, even married women, all buying evening gowns and swimsuits, even hiring coaches to help them compete as effectively as possible, always with an eye on that coveted crown. And like almost every other tradition, there is an infrastructure that has developed to manage all of this and produce pageants year after year after year. And today, we look into that world with three people who have close connections to it. Candace Matthews Blanchard is Mrs. North Carolina America 2011 and the mother of a junior high pageant winner. She's also been a pageant judge, hair and makeup stylist, and a pageant coach. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
You brought along your sash and crown this morning.
I absolutely did.
I don't know that I've been this close to a sash. But, well, I have this Maryland sash, but this is different. Well, thank you for bringing that. Fred Galley is a director for the Mrs. America organization nationwide, who also serves on the Standards, Ethics, and Compliance Committee. He and his wife, Wendy, run the Mrs. South Carolina and North Carolina America pageants as executive directors. Thank you for being here.
Mike, good morning.
Good morning. And joining us by phone is Dr. Elwood Watson. He is a full professor of history and African American studies at East Tennessee State University, whose special concentration includes gender studies, popular culture, and 20th century post-World War II U.S. history. He is also the author of There She Is, Miss America. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, let me begin with you, Candace, Mrs. America 2011, Mrs. North Carolina America 2011. You've competed in pageants for a good part of your life as a younger woman and now Mrs. America, and then you took 20 years off in between competing for the Mrs. America pageant and winning that last year. What was the allure of coming back?
You're showing my age by saying throwing these years out here. I think the allure of coming back is why a lot of women are attracted to the Mrs. system. As a stay-at-home mom of three, I graduated with a degree in business and a minor in accounting. So,
wow.
I worked in the corporate world. This was not my life. And having children took me out of that world. I chose to be a stay-at-home mom. And what happens to a lot of people, I think, is we become stay-at-home, frumpy moms, then we lose who we are as a woman, as a wife, and as a mother into our kids. We pour everything into our kids instead of taking care of ourselves. And I felt like it was time for me to get me back.
And since you competed as a younger woman, I guess a teenager, right?
Just on a very small level, just a few pageants.
Okay, since you competed on that level at that time in your life, and since your daughter is now involved in this, and since you are a coach of other young girls who want to become pageant winners, what is the allure for them? What was the allure for you as a younger person?
I was not one of those. Well, at the time, pageantry was not a big part of my life. First of all, financially, we just couldn't afford. Because they do cost money.
Yeah, they cost money.
They cost a lot of money. We just couldn't afford to enter a pageant every weekend and to buy the dresses and all the different outfits. And so we were very particular on the pageants and pageant systems that we chose to be in. And particularly, we focused on pageant systems that had a scholarship or some type of reward that would help me advance academically scholarship-wise.
So are there – I know the Miss America pageant and the pageant system that leads up to the Miss America pageant focuses on scholarships. Are there other pageant systems that do that too?
Oh, absolutely. My daughter, who just gave up her crown, she was Miss Junior High School America. Mm-hmm. There's Miss Junior High School America, High School America, and Collegiate America. All three of those national winners win a $10,000 scholarship. So there are definitely programs out there that focus on advancing education of young girls.
Having been involved in the Miss America system years ago, this is years ago when I did this, but nonetheless I was involved, and I noticed while I was involved in that there are a lot of men behind the scenes running these pageants. Fred Galley, you're one of them. How did you get involved?
We were in Washington, D.C. living, and my wife and I, she was a fitness trainer and taught aerobics. And she was in such good shape, and I happened to be going through the TV channel, and I ran into the Mrs. America pageant on television. And I said, when do you really need to do this? You know, you're a well-rounded lady, and you're obviously beautiful and, you know, special to me. I want to show you to the world. So she did the North Carolina pageant, won it, and then competed for Mrs. America in Hawaii. And we've been part of the pageant system ever since. It promotes marriage and promotes married women throughout North and South Carolina. In my case, I'm the director for North and South Carolina America. And it's a good platform and format for showcasing our beautiful married women in the Carolinas.
And the other men who are involved behind the scenes in the Mrs. America pageant system, were their motives and their reason for wanting to get involved? Because it's a lot of work.
Sure.
Are they similar?
Well, there's very few male directors like myself.
Okay.
Most are female.
Okay.
But there are a lot of behind-the-scenes people. We put all of our girls through, cosmetic makeover of their smile with Dr. Ross Nash and Dr. Andy Castillo. They work on their medical for their face and their appearance. They work with the Dr. Jacques Dallaire.
Stop right there. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I know Dr. Nash. He's the guy, he's a cosmetic dentist.
Yes.
And he does it makes your teeth look great.
Right.
So are you saying that all of the contestants have to essentially change their appearance?
No, not at all. As part
but you
of
offer it.
It's part of our prize package to work with these professionals to help them once they win the state, then Wendy and I can work with them when they go to Mrs. America. Like, Mrs. America is at the end of the month in August.
Okay.
It's in Tucson, Arizona. So we put our girls through a whole series of training, whether it be modeling or makeup or hair or style makeovers.
Okay. Dr. Watson, I said at the very beginning that at one time Miss America pageant was the big one, and it started as, I know this because I was involved in it, it started as a swimsuit competition in Atlantic City at the beach there with its zenith in the 50s and 60s. At one time, the Miss America pageant was the most watched program on television. When did the idea for beauty pageants actually emerge? Because I'm sure that the Miss America pageant and its precursor were not the first.
True. We had the idea for beauty pageants emerged. Well, obviously, they didn't necessarily even start in the United States. They started in Europe, and they started in Africa, and they've been all over. They've been a part of our mankind culture for thousands of years. Within the United States, the first pageant interest in pageants really began as far back in the late 1700s. And
really?
Even local communities and the like. They really didn't begin to obviously take off in America because there was a lot of dissension and a lot of dissatisfaction with pageants. The Catholic Church, in particular, spoke out against beauty pageants. They saw it as being very carnal and very, very very, very decadent and possessed all the elements that people saw as being very, troubling. The Miss America pageant itself, when it became, it was called the Showman's, it started September 7th, 1921, the very first one in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and it was designed as a means to, provide extra revenue for businessmen and other businessmen and the like during the off season. Unlike today, beach towns are not open year. At that time, they were not open year round.
Yeah, it extended the season by a week.
Exactly, mm-hmm. And also too, the pageant provided revenue to get through the winter and fall and winter months when people did not necessarily vacation in beach towns and live in them routinely like they do today. And that was the reason. But to answer your earlier question, beauty pageants, started in our country even as far back, pretty much at the founding of our country. There's always been, people interested in, promoting the human body and the like as well.
One contestant in these things that we talked to said that Miss America is the girl next door. Miss USA is the girl you wish lived next door.
True that.
Would that be an accurate statement? Yes.
Absolutely. You know, Miss USA is more of a Donald Trump creation of, you know, extreme beauty and model talent.
Although he bought the pageant recently, so right. he didn't create that.
Well, but that's what it is. And, okay. You know, the ratings are through the roof. Miss America is more of a beauty pageant wrapped in a talent competition, more like true original reality television.
Why do most young women compete in the preliminaries in the actual Miss America, Miss USA, Miss World, Miss Universe pageants? Do they choose one pageant system over another, or are most women who compete in these open to whatever they think they have the best shot at winning? Candace?
I believe it's individual to each girl.
I mean, if you don't have talent.
If you don't have talent, then you don't have talent.
Right.
That is correct. The hula hoopers are not winning Miss America. sometimes they do. You are correct. But typically, the girls who are not the dancers or the singers or the pianist or, you know, down that talent line will head down the Teen USA, Miss USA pageant route.
And I understand, Dr. Watson, that it was actually Miss America winner's refusal to wear a bathing suit. Correct me if I'm wrong. She wanted to be a serious opera singer, and she didn't want to parade down the runway in a bathing suit, and that led to a split and the creation of these other pageants that we've come to know.
That is correct. In 1951, Yolanda Betsby, who was Miss Alabama and became Miss America in 1951, decided her point. When she was a contestant within the pageant, she would play by the pageant's rules. But once she won the pageant, she decided she was not going to walk around in department stores or in public in a bathing suit. This got the pageant directors, the swimsuit director of Catalina at the time, so enraged, so they decided to withdraw sponsorship from the Miss America pageant and developed their own Miss USA and Miss Universe, which started in 1952.
Hmm. What is the Mrs. America pageant about?
Mrs. America, you know, you have to be 18 and married, mm-hmm. and it does not have talent. It's more of like a Miss USA type of system.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, if you have kids or whatever, you're not going to have time to practice your talent anyway. It's interview. It's one-on-one interview with the judges. It's the swimsuit, evening gown, and on-stage question with the top five.
You know, I wasn't going to ask about this because it's relatively embarrassing, but we've seen recently on television some of these competitions where the interview with these young, particularly in the younger women, becomes pretty uncomfortably embarrassing because of some of the responses.
Yeah.
What's the point of the interview? If the point of the competition is, if you're going to select a winner based on elegance and beauty and how a person wears a swimsuit or an evening gown, why do we care what they think about World AIDS?
Can I make a
sure.
comment on that? Because of how a lot of it depends on the different system and how they are judged, but a lot of the pageants have a heavily weighted interview portion,
mm-hmm.
And the interview is typically held first. So that's why I kind of the term beauty pageant, it's not necessarily the prettiest girl that wins, it's the girl that they love the most.
Well, we'll come back and talk about that, because maybe the proper word is not beauty pageant, maybe it's just pageant. We'll come back and talk about that. In just a second, we have to take a break. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Charlotte Magazine, a city magazine keeping readers informed, entertained, and involved every month of the year. Subscriptions available online at charlottemagazine.com. Well, America has a fat problem. Indeed, more than two-thirds of North Carolinians are overweight or obese. Our state's been waging a war against fat, but some are unhappy about that. They're part of a growing movement who say that it is possible to be both fat and healthy. And we'll talk to them about that situation and by why they feel that these programs to help people who are obese are actually discriminatory. We'll do that tomorrow at 9.
On the next Ian Rehm Show, Americans increasingly believe smoking should be illegal. The tobacco industry has taken notice by pushing electronic and lower nicotine cigarettes. Smoking in America today.
Join the Ian Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about pageants, the world of pageants today with Candace Matthews Blanchard, Mrs. North Carolina America 2011, also a pageant judge and coach, among other things, and mother. Fred Galley is executive director of the Mrs. North Carolina and South Carolina America pageants, along with his wife, Wendy. And Dr. Elwood Watson is professor of African American studies and 20th century pop culture and gender studies at East Tennessee State University, if I'm not mistaken, and also the author of There She Is, Miss America. You wanted to jump in here, Dr. Watson, and say something about, I believe, the interview process. Am I right about that?
Yes. The interview process for the Miss America pageant is very much the a significant part of that pageant. When the contestants arrive in Atlantic City, they meet with a panel of the judges, the Blue Ribbon panel of judges, and they have about, I guess, a 15 to 20 minute interview each contestant, and they're pretty much bombarded with questions from varied topics. The topics can vary, as well, and they're it's a very, very intense situation for the contestants themselves, and it counts as a, I'm not mistaken, about 30% of their final score. The interview is very, very, very critical, and oftentimes that is the factor, along with this, the swimsuit, the talent, and other portions of the pageant, to predict who will emerge into the top 10.
Well, in the Miss America pageant, if I got this correctly, over the years, the talent aspect of this, once you get the crown, pretty much disappears, as does the swimsuit aspect and probably the evening gown. And what Miss America actually becomes is a spokesperson who travels the country supporting whatever cause she has chosen to support and also just talking on behalf of the pageant around the country. So this interview portion, it seems to me, in that pageant seems to be relatively important. You want somebody who can speak and who is poised and relaxed in front of a large audience. Is that right?
That is right.
Exactly.
The purpose of the interview really is to provide insight to the audience because they don't get to see the interview process. And, what I see on national television are these are very hard questions for very young girls. Mm-hmm. And generally there's either a difficulty slant because the judges don't want to look themselves that they're not smart. So they're going to ask a brilliant question and put the pressure on these young ladies. And it is quite troubling. These questions are very difficult, and they're under immense pressure of national spotlight and national television.
Hmm. Yeah. Dr. Elwood?
Yes, that's exactly right. And the platform really became part of the pageant in 1989 when Debbie Turner was the first Miss America to have a platform to promote. The contestants are required to have a platform, and they promote that platform during their year of service. As Miss America. Also, earlier in the conversation, we were talking about how Miss USA differs from Miss America. I would say Miss America, from my perspective at least, is a much more comprehensive pageant, whereas Miss USA, I would say, is primarily more of a personality pageant, which is fine. But I think Miss America has a swimsuit competition, it has an evening gown competition, it has an interview platform, it certainly has a year of service competition. It's got many aspects to it's a composite pageant.
Yeah, the Miss America pageant says that its goal is to provide personal and professional opportunities for young women to promote their voices in culture, politics, and the community. And yet I think it's one of the few pageants left, major national pageants, that has a talent component to it, which does give it a unique position. But it's also that's probably the part of the Miss America pageant, at least in contemporary culture, that gets the most scrutiny and the most derisive comments. Would you, since you're the scholar of the Miss America pageant here, Dr. Watson, would you say that's correct?
Yes. Also, I think what distinguishes it from a lot of other pageants, whereas other pageants, in some cases, do give out scholarship money. The Miss America pageant gives out, you know, a significant amount of money, more than, you know, I guess as of last year, I think it was like $80 million in scholarships, period.
And, in a world of American Idol and The Voice, why are we so critical about the talent competition in Miss America?
Is that directed to me?
Yes.
Oh, I would say, I don't know. So, people have always talked about the talent competition. Some people have always, you know, ridiculed the talent competition in the Miss America pageant and have, you know, been kind of a, you know, critical of it. I'm not sure the talent competition gets as much ridicule as it has in the past. Because the Miss America pageant was reality television before reality television, so-called reality television,
began.
That's
true.
And in many ways. So I think that much of that criticism, I think, is kind of dissipated. And I don't think there was ever what you call an extreme, intense critical criticism of the talent, per se. I think, if anything, most of the criticism directed toward the pageant historically have been, particularly among feminist groups and others, was toward the swimsuit competition.
According to the Mrs. America website, the competition features the most accomplished married women of America, and that she is chosen, the winner is chosen, out of 51 competitors who have won their state competitions, run by a network of respected and talented community and business leaders. That's a quote.
That is true.
Why business leaders? And
it is a job. We tell our girls when they're competing that it is a job. You are competing for the title of Mrs. America when they go to nationals. And generally, the judges are from the entertainment world or the business world or just upstanding citizens. Mm-hmm. And 50% of our pageant system is also interview. And it is a job. It's a PR job.
So what is the criteria for – what do you tell women who are going to compete? How are they going to be judged? On what are they going to be judged?
Well, I can only comment from like a sports perspective, of course, because not having competed in pageants myself, naturally. It's kind of like being a golfer. You know, you have all these people, the hair and makeup, and they're working with you like a golf caddy for a golfer. But yet you have to hit the shot when you're on stage.
One of the few sports that I can think of that this is comparable to would be ice skating.
Yes.
Because ice skating is a judged event, and judges are...
Like the Olympics.
Well, they're
right?
Giving their opinions.
Sure.
They're rating you on a scale according to their opinion, and I've also done a lot of ice skating shows. And I know that the judges, the first person to skate, the judges hold back their
top scores
because they need a place to go by the time the 15th person has skated. Are you at a disadvantage in that way in competing in a pageant?
I think it's probable that I'm sure but I will say in the Mrs. America system, they've already met all the girls in the interview, so that it's not like they're seeing that, as you say, a skater. They're not seeing that skater for the very first time. So in the pageants
they're not seeing them in the Olympics for the very first time because the judges watch the rehearsals.
You're also not judging them right at the first shot. Mm-hmm. Like when they go through our interview system, we bring all the girls back, and then the judges mark their comments after everyone goes through the process. So they're not being judged like immediately.
But I will say,
in the Miss America pageant, also in the Miss America pageant, at least for many years, it was they judged the scoring system in the 90s like they did in the Olympics. What they did was they dropped the highest score and the lowest score for each contestant.
Mm. Go ahead.
Well, what I was saying, the pageants that I've judged that have had interviews, and from what I've heard from judges that I have talked with, is they kind of fall in love with a few girls in the interview. Mm-hmm. And then they're looking, they have their eyes on those particular girls on stage. I think the interview, he talked about platform. We're not required to have a platform in the Mrs. America pageant, but we all have platforms. Mm-hmm. And I partnered with the American Red Cross during my year because of some circumstances and something that had happened with me. And I think they're looking for that well-rounded individual, and they find that person in the interview. That's why I think when people are looking at it from an audience perspective later that evening, and the most beautiful girl may not win, and that may be why, because it's not necessarily truly based on beauty.
You actually have an interesting perspective on this, because not only have you competed, you are a judge, and you coach people. So what do you, since you have this multidimensional perspective on this, what do you tell young women that you're coaching about how they should present themselves in order to be seen in the best light for them?
I think the biggest mistake that girls make is going in and not being themselves. I think if you are this well-rounded person, if you're truly what you embody as what they want in a representative from their pageant, that will come across. If you try to fake it or try to contrive something and make your resume, per se, mm-hmm. just like how someone interviewing for a job, if they have fluffed their resume a little bit, then when they go in for the interview, all that will weed itself out. It's the same kind of scenario. You're, in a sense, interviewing for a job.
I want to hear from you, and I want to hear from Dr. Watson about this, too, because he maybe can shed some light on how the Miss America pageant does this. Is there empirical data? I mean, do you sit there and you say the winner needs to be a certain height, a certain shape, a certain measurement, certain body weight?
I am proof that everyone will say, and they do, the taller girls do typically do well, but I'm 5'5", so I am the wrench in this whole thing, because if you would look at me as an individual compared to your typical and probably the state winners, if you'd line us all up, I would probably be one of the shorter ones by far.
Mrs. World is 5'2".
Okay. Right. Dr. Now. Watson, does the Miss America pageant have certain criteria that they tell the judges they're looking for?
As far as the physical appearance of the contestants?
Well, just in terms of who should be the winner. I know that there are numbers assigned to who performs well in the talent competition and how the 30% of it goes to the interview process. But when they're looking at the physical nature, the walking down the runway in a bathing suit or an evening gown, do they tell the judges, here's what we want?
I'm not exactly sure if they tell them specifically this is what we want, but I think that is something going to be a part of the entire the entire persona of a Miss America. They want somebody who does look, healthy or appears to be healthy and looks, probably, certainly attractive in a swimsuit, as well as attractive not just in a swimsuit, but in an evening gown. And, it's certainly aesthetically, pleasing, because it is an entire package. You want somebody who's appears to be in good shape, who is, well-rounded, up to date on current events. You want somebody who's seen as being a Renaissance woman in many ways. Would not be surprising that the judges the organization would certainly make that point to the judges in the pageant that we want somebody who definitely fits that profile.
Fred Galley.
Being a professional pageant judge myself, traveling all throughout the country judging, the Miss America system has a program that they put their judges through to help them refine their judging process, to help them pick the best girls they feel.
The Miss America contest also has an award voted on by the fellow contestants, the Miss Congeniality Award.
My favorite award.
But all of these are women. I've been backstage. All of these.
it's my favorite award.
These are women competing against other women, mm-hmm. and it can get intense. So I'm just curious, as an experienced contestant, as a pageant judge, a coach, a mother of a daughter who has competed in pageants, how intense are these competitions behind the scenes? Does a Miss Congeniality really emerge?
I would say a Miss Congeniality definitely. And yes, there is that one typically girl that. But it's not me.
I like.
Honesty. I will say that.
Honesty.
I say that because.
Candace is very competitive.
Not because it is. You have to be thick-skinned. Uh-huh. You have to be able to take criticism. You have to be able to take the punches, not literal punches, other girls. And so I think my business background brings that facade to me that I don't come off as the nice girl.
Well, not only pageants are a showcase of beauty and talent, but it's also a showcase of character. If you're not a nice person. Mm-hmm. Generally, you're not going to be picked Mrs. Congeniality, and I see it time and time again. People come in, they try to, psych out other contestants or whatever, and, I don't think there's really a place for that in pageants. It should be a celebration of womanhood, and you need to be a good sport about competing.
Younger people, as I said earlier, the Miss America pageant was at one point the most watched television program on the air every single year. And the winner, Miss America, was considered to be the female equivalent. I just read this yesterday, and I think I recall this being true. She was the female equivalent of the president in terms of representing the country. She was the ideal. As the lyric to Miss America's song says, she, that you're ideal. Then the feminism and the civil rights movements came along. And some of these pageants, particularly the Miss America pageant, began to lose some face. How do modern women reconcile the strides that they've made in the business world and in society at large? We had a female presidential candidate. How do they reconcile that with these beauty contests? And maybe that gets back to the fact that they're not just beauty contests.
It's not beauty. I think that is the stigma that has been placed on these over the years, that it is truly beauty. When I was at Miss America, I was competing with business owners, attorneys, doctors. These are professional women, highly educated, that a lot of it we've done, you know, I did it to lose some extra baby weight. That was a goal I set, and I knew if I was going to be up on stage in a swimsuit, I was going to hit my goal. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't necessarily doing it for any kind of, you know, winning a crown. It was a personal accountability that I set for myself, and it took me 2 years to get it.
Is that how most girls competing in this view this, Dr. Watson? Is it just a way to hit a goal? Is it a way to feel better about themselves? Is it a way to say, hey, I have a contribution to make, as opposed to I'm going to win that crown?
I would say it varies depending upon the young lady themselves. For many, it's the way Rebecca King, Miss America 1974, said herself. She got into the pageant for scholarship money. Some women getting the Miss America pageant is an effort to further their goals, whether to be in media or, you know, to go on to graduate or professional school. And some, you know, enter for the title specifically to want to be for the goal of becoming Miss America. But I would say the vast majority of women enter it, you know, obviously for the scholarship money and also to make a mark in society and to promote, that gets them several steps closer to promoting their goal, their passion and their goals to the larger public. And it's also important to note that, one of your other guests just said earlier, many of these women are very, very accomplished young ladies. You know, some of them are, you know, one was a doctor. Some of them are, you know, aspiring medical doctors. As you said, business school candidates, working in other professional degrees. So these women are very, very talented and very, very, you know, accomplished women in many ways.
I don't know if you know the answer to this question, Doctor, but I'll ask it anyway because you wrote this book, There She Is, Miss America, which I'm sure focused on mostly the winners of these pageants. But when they're up on stage, they do talk about their professional goals. They do talk about their – because it's a scholarship pageant, they talk about their field of study in college and what they want to go on to be. Does anybody know how successful these young women become – whether they win the pageant or not in the fields that they've chosen to pursue?
Many of them go on to be very successful. The assumption is that many of these Miss Americas, after the pageant, they go back to small towns, they go back to their local communities or their cities, and just become obscure individuals that nobody ever hears of again, which is not necessarily true. They're very successful in their very fields because the vast majority of them are not seeking to become Hollywood stars. You know, the vast majority of them are not. You know,
we have to take a break. We'll come back with more in just a moment. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Chesterbrook Academy Preschools, preparing children academically, socially, and emotionally for elementary school in the Charlotte area, hosting an open house on Saturday, August 10th. Details at chesterbrookpreschool.com. An increasing number of Americans believe both public and private smoking should be illegal. The tobacco industry has taken notice by pushing electronic and lower nicotine cigarettes. And meanwhile, new screening standards aim to save more smokers from lung cancer. Diane Rehm and her guests talk about the state of smoking in America today, coming up in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock on The Diane Rehm Show. If you'd like to join our conversation, WFAE.org/Charlotte Talks is a great place to begin, or 704-926-WFAE, 800-603-WFAE, and we're coming right back.
the stories you want.
Imitation is the sincerest form of television.
The economy.
The gloves came off.
This is not a victory.
Often food aid gets there after everyone's dead.
When you want them.
Let me state this as directly as possible.
Listen all day, every day. NPR News, always on.
NPR News, plus local and regional news all day on 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the world of pageants with Candace Matthews-Blanchard, Mrs. North Carolina America 2011, and also a pageant judge and coach. Dr. Elwood Watson is a professor of African-American studies and author of There She Is, Miss America. And Fred Galley is executive director of the Mrs. North and South Carolina America pageants and also a director of the Mrs. America pageant, and on the Ethics and Standards Committee. What does that mean, ethics and standards?
Well, we oversee the 51 states or in District of Columbia, and we have all the problems from throughout the country brought to our committee, which was formulated to give fair and honest feedback back to complaints that Mrs. America would get.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, if contestants do things that are not, you know, role model exemplary of what they should be in their state. So we then rule on, you know, taking away crowns or, you know, upholding that they get to keep their crown or whatever issues.
And the idea is to maintain the integrity of the
system. Right. You know, we look for women that are role models for their state. And, of course, Mrs. America is a role model for the, you know, 70 million married women in America. So it's a job, and it's an important job.
In what way? Because since you were a Mrs. North Carolina, in what way are you a role model? Were you a role model for other married women in the state?
Well, I can only speak for the women who I had direct contact with and who I feel like I have maybe encouraged. Because I did lose weight to reach this goal, I think it showed other people that just because I'm a mom, just because I'm a stay-at-home mom, maybe I don't have my big career that I used to have, that my life can still have value, that I can still be important, that I can change someone else's life or help them to grow and aspire as a wife and a mother as well.
You know, you mentioned the goal that you wanted to achieve, which is you thought you could, by participating in this pageant, you would achieve that goal because you weren't going to get up on a runway without achieving the goal that you set for
Correct.
Yourself. But some people have said that, particularly in the Mrs. America pageant, you're upset. Some of the contestants are upsetting the apple cart they at home. They want to change their lives in some way, reach a goal that they set for themselves in some way through competition, and then once that competition is over, they kind of keep going because they've reinvented themselves, and that can upset the apple cart at home.
Yeah, you know, you're married, but you're not dead. Of course, you know, you've got a full life to live, and I enjoy that. You know, dealing with the married women, they have more life experiences to talk about, mm-hmm. and they're much more interesting than say the younger girls, just from those life experiences.
Speaking of younger girls. There are thousands of pageants around the country that focus on little girls from the age of pre-2. I mean, literally, they are carried in their mother's arms down the runway till they're eligible for the Miss Teen pageants and then the adult pageants. The death of JonBenet Ramsey and the fame of Honey Boo Boo, the movie Little Miss Sunshine with Steve Carell have all raised eyebrows for pageants about little girls. Are these healthy competitions to dress up a little girl who's 6 years old with hair and makeup and little evening gowns? And is that healthy, or is that all about the mom?
It's a lot about the mom. A lot of these moms you know, are living their childhoods through their daughters, and the problems I see are not the little girls talking out, it's their moms behaving badly. And, you know, generally if your mom behaves badly, the kid behaves badly.
And yet ABC News reports that children are the fastest growing segment of the beauty pageant market, with annual children's competitions attracting an estimated 3 million children, mostly girls, ages 6 months to 16 years. Is this a big business for pageant organizers and producers? Is that all this really is?
Well, we forget about, you know, beauty pageants really are a form of entertainment, you know, like the original reality show. And it is that. It's entertainment. It's also good for the young girls to get out there. And, you know, I know my wife competed. Her mom got her to compete because she was very low on self-esteem.
Prior to Title IX, it could be legitimately argued, I think, that these younger pageants, the teen pageants, even the young, although I'm not sure there were that many young pageants like we have today, gave women a chance to compete because guys had Little League, they had Pee Wee football, and girls couldn't compete in those things. They only had these competitions, these pageant competitions. Now young girls can compete athletically. Mm-hmm. So tell me what function these serve for the younger people.
Well, as a mom of two girls, I can only speak as what I believe. And my oldest daughter, who is now 14, I did put her in a pageant when she was probably 2 or 3, and it just wasn't, it didn't feel right for me.
And you did it why?
I think because I had done it a little, you
know. At that age?
Not at that age, okay. No. But I just think being in the pageant world.
And it didn't feel right.
Why? It was, to me, a beauty pageant.
Did she have a good time? Did she even know?
I don't think she knew. She was too young to even know.
She didn't even know what she was doing.
And I think that that goes along with what Fred says. I did it for me. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it for her. I mean, she was fun. You know, I've got pictures of her eating a blue lollipop after with her crown on. So in that aspect, at the age of a 2-3-year-old, she was wearing sparkles and had a blue lollipop.
She's a teenager?
She is a teenager.
And she competed and won
Miss Junior High School America.
And she wanted to compete in that.
She did want to compete, but she had not competed. That was the first pageant since this younger pageant that I had allowed her to even.
Why did she want to compete?
I think she had, you know, you see all the hype on TV and you see some different things. She is 5'10 and a half at 14. She has an agent. She is going to be hopefully very successful in a modeling career. She's already done a few national campaigns.
Is it helpful in your career if you want to be a model to win a pageant?
I truly believe it gives you a platform to advance your career.
Okay.
Because for her, she was able to meet with a large designer, Sherry Hill, when she was in Florida at Nationals, and she was offered a modeling contract. Mm-hmm. She wants to be in broadcasting. A lot of these girls,
right. It
develops an ability to speak in front of others, to be able to be hosts, as you said, a spokesperson for whatever platform or whatever pageant system you're with. You learn what you can. And so to go into a career in broadcasting is virtually seamless.
Several Miss America winners have gone into very successful careers in broadcasting. Doctor, you study pop culture, and I'm just curious what role in the 21st century you see these pageants playing, and beginning with the little girl pageants, on through the system.
I think they play several roles. You're exactly right about many of the Miss Americas and non-winners have went on to very successful careers in broadcasting. But as I was saying earlier before the previous commercial break, many of them have went on to, you know, very successful careers in, medicine, business, law, and in various avenues of their chosen professions. I would say that in the 21st century, I think the pageant, as far as is still very, very relevant. There are people who, you know, have argued that is the Miss America pageant relevant or and the like. I think it's very, very relevant in a sense. I think if anything, it's actually it's always been one of those institutions. It's got 9 lives. You know, whatever people knocked it down, they said it's out for the count. It's always been able to resurrect itself. It's survived the Great Depression, 2 world wars. As you mentioned, the criticism from the modern feminist movement, the civil rights movement, the Vanessa Williams penthouse scandal in the mid-80s and others, but it's always been able to rebound. Even when it was on TLC and had to leave mainstream television for a few years, it's back on ABC now. So it's always been one of those pageants, whatever's been down for the count, it's always resurrected itself. But I think the 21st century, it'll surprise us even more.
Having emceed these pageants in the past, you have rehearsals, and you rehearse the dress rehearsal. You rehearse exactly as though you were doing the show without the judges at the table down front. And I have noticed a difference when you line up the young women who are competing and they're in their swimsuits. I have noticed a difference in their composure when you're up close to them. You probably can't see it from the house. In the rehearsal process versus the actual competition, they're very, very, many of them, aware that they're being scrutinized in the actual competition, which you didn't see that in the rehearsal process. Because this really is a judgment of you as a physical specimen, as a human being, as an intellect. That's got to be very difficult. It's wonderful if you win. But if you lose, what does it do to your psyche? Because this is a judgment of me.
Well, generally, you know, in these pageants, there's one winner and there's 50 losers at the national pageants, right? So we always tell our girls that swimsuit is won from the neck up. And it really is how you project yourself and your confidence. If you're got your shoulders down and you're not carrying yourself properly, they're going to look at you differently as if you're carrying yourself properly and more confidently. So it's really a show of confidence.
Well, and I would say I didn't win the pageant the first year that I tried. And I think it goes back to my athletic background and the fact that I'm a competitor at heart. And it not winning just gave me the desire to work harder for the next year, whereas others it may not.
Because one former competitor in the pageant system, and I don't know which pageant she competed in, but she wrote an article about all this in New York Magazine. And she says of pageants, female competitions are a loser's game because you're ugly if you lose and shameless if you win. We competed in pageants because we and our mothers wanted to win, but we resist talking about it with outsiders lest they mistake us for something that we're not. That there are two things in that comment. One is the first part. You're ugly if you lose, shameless if you win. And then a lack of understanding about what the process is all about and why people compete from those who don't involve themselves. Do you agree with anything she said?
Well, I mean, it is true. You are picked on. You are the winner based on that panel of judges' opinion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, be it the next night and you've got a different five panel of judges, would there be a different winner? Possibly. So it is the opinion of your panel of judges to answer that first part of the question.
It depends. If you're competing for yourself and you really only compete against yourself, similar to golf, you know, you want to bring out your best that night. And it's just like Candace said, five people's opinion, like the Olympics. You know, you might get a two from the Russian judge or whatever.
Do you talk about this with people who don't understand the competition, who don't compete in these competitions? Did you talk to your neighbors about competing in the Mrs. America pageants?
Yeah. I mean, everyone knew that I was competing. And, you know, you do have people who don't understand, who are critical. Mm-hmm. But I think that's just their nature. I don't know if it's necessarily something that's even worth talking to them to try to convince them otherwise, because I think people are definitely setting their opinions of a beauty pageant, I think is what is set in their mind.
In addition to being the author of There She Is, Miss America, Dr. Elwood Watson, one of our guests today from East Tennessee State University, is a professor of African American studies there and pop culture of the 20th century, etc. For years, the Miss America pageant, and perhaps the pageant world in general, was the domain, the province of white women and white girls. And I know that Vanessa Williams won Miss America pageant and became one of its most successful and famous winners, and not just because of the Penthouse scandal, because she has beauty and talent. She really is a very talented actress. Is this still a white woman's world, Doctor, or have African Americans embraced this tradition, been welcomed in this tradition? Can they win in the same pageants generally that white women compete in?
Yes, I would say, you know, if you'd asked me that question 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I would have probably said more. I would certainly be not necessarily the case. But yes, if you've seen over the past 25 to 30 years, there have been a number of, you know, non-white contestants, the women of color who have won the pageant. The Miss America pageant has had eight non-white contestants win. They've had one Asian woman, Andrea Perez Baraqua, who was Miss Hawaii, Miss America 2001, and they've had several, you know, in some cases, back-to-back African-American winners. They've done, you know, black women have done very well in the pageant since 1984 when Vanessa Williams won the crown, and over the past, you know, 30 years, and as a matter of fact, this will be the 30th year that she was crowned, because she was crowned in September of 1983, and she was Miss America in 1984.
Wow.
Before she had relinquished the crown. But since that time, we've had 8 black winners, and women have won the crown, and 1 Asian woman. So over 30 years, you could say 9 women of color have won the crown. So you divide that among 30. That means on average of every 3.5 years, it wasn't literally every 3.5 years, but within those 30 years, 9 women of color have won the crown. So that's pretty impressive, considering the first woman of color didn't win the crown until 1984.
Crystal Brown Tatum was Miss Texas 1990 and Miss Black Louisiana in 2012, and now a pageant mom, said she never thought a black woman could win a pageant until Vanessa Williams came along. And she said, "I was always the girl at school that was the only black cheerleader and the only black girl in gifted and talented. I never thought I was pretty because everyone who was popular and pretty was white. Vanessa Williams changed the course of my life." And I'm sure that a lot of African-American young women probably had that, of that generation particularly, had that same feeling. Could it be argued that Vanessa Williams and the others that followed her have helped to change the perception of what we view as beautiful in America? And I have 20 seconds.
I would say yes. And also, when you look at international beauty like Mrs. World or Miss Universe, they have also defined what beauty is, or redefined it, rather.
One contestant said, "I love what pageantry offered, an ability to stand for what you believed in a public forum. It taught me that I could reach the goal of what I wanted my body to look like. It was hard discipline, and I was healthier for it." Thanks to everybody on the panel here. Dr. Elwin Watson from East Tennessee State University, author of There She Is, Miss America. Fred Galley, executive director of the Mrs. North and South Carolina pageants. And Candace Matthews Blanchard, Mrs. North Carolina America 2011.
Fairest of the fair she is, Miss America.